Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 46 for March 5th, 2008. Dropio. This show and the entire TWiT broadcast network is brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Thanks. From Petaluma, California, I am Leo Laporte.
From Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I am Amber MacArthur.
And we now know there'll be a one-second lag between everything I say and everything Amber says, thanks to Rogers.
I am having some internet trouble, I must say, Leo, so I apologize in advance, but next week I guarantee it will be better, and we won't have to go through this anymore.
It's okay, I'll just have Dane edit it out. Yeah, he'll clean it all up for us.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? Now I'm realizing that when I laugh, it's going to be like a second later, and so I'll look like some maniacal type of crazy person.
Well, aren't you?
No, I hope not, Leo. Well, maybe, yeah, you know what? Maybe this winter I will become one, because it seems like it's been snowing for months and months in Toronto.
Speaking of maniacal people, have you been following the Jimmy Wales story?
Oh my gosh. The first time I got that link to the Jimmy Wales story was from a friend of mine who I used to work with at City TV. And it turns out that he went to school with the woman who briefly dated Jimmy Wales. And that's who he's having a lot of trouble with, I guess, right now since they broke up. And
she's from, she's a Canadian. Yeah. Oh, it's very public. She's a Canadian, was Canadian, right? And from Vancouver and was a Fox commentator, but apparently has had. She's what we call a bad girlfriend. She's one of these, you don't want to break up with her because she'll make your life horrible.
You know, it's really funny because my friend kind of knew her, and he had written me an email, and he said, hey, guess what? Jimmy Wales is going out with this woman. I can't believe he's going out with her because she's a little bit loopy. And he had told me all these nutty stories about her, and I joked back. I said, hey, I should probably warn him because we had him on Net at Night, so I thought maybe I should send him an email.
Oh, yeah, we like Jimmy. We know him well, yeah.
And then days later, I look on Valleywag and I see this terrible string of stories about him and their terrible end to their brief affair.
Yeah, well, if you read Valleywag, it's getting sleazier and sleazier, and they're eating this stuff up. Before that, it was Kevin Rose is probably very grateful, because before that, it was Kevin Rose at the Future of Web Applications, and it was there was no story at all, but they were playing it up like it was Paris Hilton. But thank goodness for Kevin, they found the Jimmy Wales story, and it's been all Jimmy Wales for the last week, all the time. Now, I talked to somebody who's in the know and somebody very intelligent who said, don't believe everything you read, not merely about the scandals, but, you know, there are quite a few accusations now being leveled at Jimmy about taking money for changing, Wikipedia entries and, $1,000 dinners and so forth. And this fellow who is, I believe, on the board, but maybe not, said there's a lot of axes being ground here. A lot of people are hitting Jimmy while they're down. Don't believe everything you read. So I'm going to give Jimmy the benefit of the doubt on this one.
I think you're bang on, Leo, because, you know, sometimes when people end up getting pretty successful, everyone wants to kind of pull them back down and, smear their reputation. And so I say that hopefully this is an isolated incident. And if you look at the history of the woman who he got involved with, it's not particularly bright.
You got to wonder what he's up to. Jimmy. And I tell you, it's funny because I'm in a very fancy conference a couple of days ago with big shot people, all of whose names you would recognize. Larry Lessig was talking to us. There's only about 10 of them. And the guy next to me, very famous, I'm not going to name names, but he's a very famous CEO, is reading Valleywag. And he's reading the Jimmy story and following the links. And I think, you know, this is probably consuming a lot of cycles in Silicon Valley right now. People are just, we don't normally get this kind of gossip.
Oh, I know. That's the thing, is that you go on Valleywag now and it really is all gossip. You know what? We should probably stop talking about Valleywag because we could end up there, Leo.
Somebody asked me, how come I don't read more about you in Valleywag? I says, I don't do anything interesting. That's why. Of course, they can always make something up, couldn't they?
Yeah, that's my problem too. I really there's no excitement going on.
You're very boring, Amber. So quickly, let's get some links in because we've got a great guest coming up in just a bit. We're going to talk about a site that I discovered. I'd seen Maram, but I hadn't played with. Discovered it big time a couple of weeks ago, I think on Twitter, called Dropio, DROP.IO. And we're going to talk to the founder, actually the founders in just a second, about this site. It's a great place to store your stuff online privately, nothing to sign up for, very easy to use. I think it's kind of one of the ultimate Web 2.0 sites, but we'll talk about that in a bit. But you've got some links, I know, from the week's news.
I sure do. And our first story today is about Nine Inch Nails. And I'm sure you've heard about this, that they have released their latest album under Creative Commons. So it allows fans to check out their album. They've also uploaded it to a torrent site so fans can get it for free. And they're offering it online for free on their own site as well, I think for $5. But pretty interesting to see a band go this way. And I love hearing music stories like this because I think it's great to see musicians get away from major record labels and become more independent and really, you know, take back the music in some ways, if I could say that.
Yeah. Larry Lessig, actually, when he talked to us, that was the first thing out of his mouth. He said, I am so pleased to announce this. They are using the Creative Commons license. He said, you know, it took a while to explain to Trent Reznor. This was the interesting thing. Trent just wanted to give it away. He said, well, why don't I just do the same thing Radiohead did? And Larry said it took some explaining to say why you would want to use a Creative Commons license instead of just say, hey, it's, you know, it's yours to take. He said, but Trent got it and really got it. And this is the first time a major artist has released an album under the Creative Commons license. Larry explained the reason you want to do this is so that people, you're explicitly saying how people can use this down the road. You're giving explicit permission to remix, mash up, to use this music. And, you know, Nine Inch Nails has done this before. They gave away GarageBand tracks of some of their songs so you could remix them. But this is the first time with a Creative Commons license. And Larry Lessig, who created the Creative Commons license and is a brilliant guy, was really stoked about this.
I know this is totally off track. It's not exactly to do with musicians, but you remember on Net at Night quite a few months ago when we were talking about that audio file from Creative Commons that they had used in a feature film?
The Scream, that was used in Children of Men, yeah.
Yes, that was so funny because it's kind of neat when you see the Creative Commons in the headlines of stories that sort of hit more kind of mainstream media, because it's just most people don't understand Creative Commons. They don't know what it means unless you're a Flickr user. So it's interesting to see if this is going to become more and more popular in the future, just for the kind of average content creator as well as professionals.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I hope more artists follow suit. I mean, Trent Reznor certainly is a leader in this, and I just really hope they follow suit. It's a great thing. Have you listened to it yet?
I haven't, but I'm definitely going to.
Yeah. I've interviewed Trent on the Screensavers, and I like his music. You know, he did, I think he did the Quake music. He's maybe the, no, I'm sorry, the Doom music. Or the Doom music was a ripoff, basically. And then I think he later did real music for games, but he's done a lot of game music, and he's a very talented fella. I'm just thrilled. Thank you, Trent. Thank you, Nine Inch Nails. What else?
Yes, I totally agree. The next story we have today is that Fast Company .tv has finally launched. This is Robert Scoble's new video network under the Fast Company magazine brand. I went to their site on Monday, and there was a few videos up, but they had one main intro video that had Robert Scoble kind of on the beach introducing what it is that he's going to be doing on the network. I'm excited to see it sort of build out from there and see what type of content they have on there. Because, you know, it's like right now I feel as though there's not really that many video networks online. There's a few like Revision 3, Next New Networks. But I'm always excited to see more content hitting the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very exciting.
Now, I hope that we can play a little bit of a video, Leo. What do you think?
Yes, I think we can. You know, I hear some people saying, it's an audio show. Why do you play video? But I like to hear the video. And you just have to imagine hear the audio. And I think you just have to imagine the video. On this one, you probably get a lot of it, right?
Yeah, you get it. Well, we make sure, I think, to pick most videos that you can kind of get just with audio. This one in particular, this is an AOL news commercial that features internet celebrities.
Oh, don't tase me, bro. I don't need this.
Okay, that's the don't tase me, bro guy, right?
Yep.
Is that actually him?
No, these are all characters that are have come actors. On this commercial. Yeah, actors. Okay.
The Don't Tase Me Bro guy was from a who was speaking? Was it Hillary Clinton? I can't remember. Somebody.
It was Bush? I think it was John Kerry.
John Kerry, and he was this college student who kept asking him difficult questions. So finally, they just tased him. You saw that.
I didn't do anything.
I'm not tasing you.
I haven't done a single thing. I just want some chips. Don't tase me, bro.
I'm not tasing.
Is anybody seeing this? Hey, get up. Oh, okay. All right. You tase the bro. Great. Oh, you're arresting me.
He's acting the whole thing
Leave
out.
Leave him alone. Leave Don't Tase Me, Bro, alone.
And then, okay, this is the guy under the sheet. The Leave Britney Alone guy. I like it. Do you think it's not him. It's just an actor.
It's just an actor, and there's only one more character. It actually gets the best towards the end.
This is funny. Now, was this on TV or just on the net?
I'm not sure. I still haven't figured this one out.
I like this. I'm glad they had the sense to do this. This is funny.
Oh, bro, don't tase me, bro.
I personally believe that I'm lost.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
We're tasing me, man.
This the Iraq. Oh, that's a
They're over there by the magazine.
Leave McKean, South Carolina, alone!
What's the matter?
Leave everyone alone! Stop chasing me, bro!
15 minutes can seem like a lifetime. Catch up with your favorite flashes in a pan.
Oh, I love it. 15 minutes can seem like a lifetime. Catch up with your favorite flashes in the pan.
I know, it's so funny. So you can find that online. Just I know it's on Meta Cafe. You can search for AOL News Commercial Features Internet Celebrities. Probably don't need that many words, but it's a very funny video to watch. And
Those are three classic
internet celebrities, that's for
no
sure.
Kidding.
Now, we only have one more link before we get to our interview. And this is from you, Leo, although I have checked it out and I don't have an invite.
I'm trying to get an invite. Veronica said she'd send me one. She's been playing it. It's PMOG. PMOG.
And it's a massive multiplayer game. I don't know a lot about it, but
passively multiplayer online game. That's what PMOG stands for. You get a Firefox extension, and it basically, I think it has to do, I'm not really sure, but with surfing the net and playing a game at the same time. Did you take the tour?
No, I haven't taken the tour, but you're making me laugh because I know because you don't have an invite, you just can't stand it.
It's driving me crazy. So the deal is you earn data points for surfing the net. Every URL is worth 2 points or pence or something. And then you spend them at the shop to buy tools. And then you can use those tools to prank your friends by, for instance, putting mines on a site that steals their data points or leaving gifts on websites containing tools or currency. So the idea is it's some sort of social network around your surfing.
Now I need to get an invite. So what's the deal? Are they just handing out invites in batches like all of these companies?
It's one of these small, betas. I tried to sign up. I put my email in and it said, we've already got your email. So I must have tried to sign up before, but they still haven't sent me an invite. So Veronica, who was playing, I saw was playing it on Twitter. I get everything from Twitter now, by the way.
I know. You know what? That seems to be the norm. I was actually speaking on a panel recently, and one of the people on the panel was talking about Twitter as being the most useful social network that he's ever experienced.
And we'll talk some more about that in a little bit. But PMOG just sounds cool. If anybody's got an invite, send me one. And once I get some invites, maybe I'll send some out. It's the passively multiplayer online game. I think just that the name is funny. All right. We've got a couple of guests on the line we want to say hello to. They are the founders of, I think, one of the darn coolest sites I've seen in some time, even though it's very, very simple. Sam Lesson and Darshan Somashekhar of Drop.io. So Drop.io launched when?
Drop.io, we went public with it actually in early November, so not that long ago at all. We had both been at Bain & Company, which is a strategy consulting firm, and left to start working on Drop.io in August. So it was a pretty fast sprint to the first version.
What did some of your former colleagues, the consultants at the company, think when you said you were launching the site?
They were all pretty excited about it. I mean, it's something that what we kind of started building in Drop.io both has some elements that we had noticed were kind of pain points for consumers based on some of the work we had been doing at Bain for big companies. And then on top of that, it actually solved some real pain points that they all really felt about sharing pictures and videos with their friends, but also sharing work documents. So it was kind of one of those things where I think people were pretty pretty excited for us.
They really wanted to use the product. That's always a good sign.
Exactly.
So, I mean, for those who haven't used it, and just take a look at it, drop.io, and I've been using it. It is not exactly, there are others in this kind of in this space like box.net and, you know, I've been using things like usendit.com and stuff to send large files. But this has a very different feel to it. What were your design ideas when you got into this?
Yeah, well, I mean, as it kind of says on the page, Dropio is all about simple privacy. And so what that comes down to is there are lots of like great, we actually really like box.net, you know, as a storage solution. These are things where you upload stuff, you store them, you know, there's some limited sharing functionality, but it's kind of like your online hard drive. And then there's a lot of good stuff out there. It's kind of like, you know, you send it, send you it, all this stuff where basically you can upload a file usually, and you kind of get a direct link you can then pass around to a specific piece of media or a zip file. But, you know, our model is a little bit different. You know, if you look at big companies, they use stuff called data rooms a lot. We used to work at Bain with these a lot, where basically if you are a big company and you want to share a whole bunch of files about a deal or something outside your own firewall, you kind of create this private little space online, and you can upload all the documents into them and then share them with consultants and bankers and everyone, right? And, you know, it's really funny because these companies spend tons of money and tons of administration hours kind of building and then maintaining these data rooms. And we kind of looked at it and said, well, what's the consumer equivalent? I mean, I don't necessarily want to share just one photo or a zip file. I want to share all the pictures of a new baby or all the pictures from an event I went to with a group of people. You know, why is it so difficult to do that simply? Why can't I just, you know, why is it that, you know, FTP, the old FTP, which was wonderful and, you know, obviously still exists and is used a lot, you know, where's the Web 2.0 version of that?
And one thing you guys do, I have used the service just once, is that it, what the service allows you to do is to password protect your files as well so that they stay private among friends. Can you explain a little bit about the process in terms of how someone can share their files with a bunch of people?
So this is Darshan. So when you go to Dropio, you can create a little drop. And then the way you do that is you add your files that you want, whether they're photos, documents, videos, etc. You can name that space, and that name ends up being part of the URL. So it's drop.io/what you name it. You can password protect it, like you mentioned. You don't have to. It is optional. And then you can also set a couple other parameters, one being, you know, do you want this drop to expire after a period of time, a day, a month, a week, a year? And then you can also control, you know, how others can interact with the drop. Can they contribute their own media, or can they just see it, etc.? Then you hit drop it. So it's literally those four options. You hit the big red button that says drop it. All those files upload. We take the photos. We convert them to thumbnails. We take the videos, we make them web viewable, we take the PDF files that you upload and also make re-render those in Flash. And then so you instantly have a workspace where you can then take that URL and give it to whoever you want. And one of the things that we realize when it comes to, you know, sharing things privately is the way most other tools deal with this is they let you put in the people that you want to share this with and then, you know, control their access in a very, you know, sort of top-down heavy way. What we do is say, look, put a password on the whole space and then just give it to whoever you want and just tell them the password. And so it's very, very light permissions management, but we think it works.
Let me underscore this. There's no sign up for it. You don't have to do anything. It's just there waiting for you, which is amazing. Also, the fact that you translate these documents is also, if people want to, I have two Dropios. I have drop.io/Leo and drop.io/Twit. Both of those are premium accounts, which is, what is it, $10 a year? It's not much.
Hey, thanks very much.
But the advantage of doing that is you can have a shorter name. They persist for as long as you pay for it. And the other thing that's really cool is, okay, yeah, you can upload a file to it. You can email a file to it. So if I take a picture of my camera phone, I can email it to leo@drop.io, and it automatically strips out all the junk, which, by the way, having used many, many Moblog solutions, is non-trivial. I mean, they strip out everything but the picture. They put the picture up there in a thumbnail so you could see it. You can phone messages in. You get an extension, the Dropio phone number. You can fax stuff. People could fax stuff to it. So it's kind of this amazing space that you just own without in any way connecting with these guys. What are the privacy situation? You don't know anything about me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a difference. What we tell you, what we say to people is, you know, our job is to kind of keep your neighbors out of your business. And we think one of the best ways to do that is say, look, we don't, if you don't tell us anything, we don't know anything. And that, therefore, you can trust us to not, for instance, spam you or, you know, somehow give away your identity or do anything because we just don't know. Now, one thing to be careful about is one thing that we do, we try to be very explicit about collecting, is we do collect IPs. And, you know, this is something that, you know, you can go back and forth on and make different arguments in different directions. For us, we think it's really, really important because, you know, we're trying to be a white knight solution and be, you know, the good version of what it means to be private. But at the end of the day, any sort of platform, anything you're doing that's powerful in communications can obviously be misused. So by collecting IP addresses and being very upfront about the fact that, like, we're not going to protect you if you're doing hyper illegal stuff and the government comes to us. It's something that we like to call out and make very clear to our users.
You don't want to make this a place that child pornographers can use to trade files, and I understand that completely.
Exactly. But, you know, short of that, you know, for any sort of, you know, legitimate use of privacy, you know, the cool part about Dropio is that simplicity and privacy can go hand in hand. You know, if you want your customers to trust you that you're not going to reveal their identity, well, then just don't collect it, right? Because what would be the possible use for it? And it's a pretty cool solution. I think, you know, we're really glad you like it. We obviously, you know, have thought a lot about it and put a lot of time into it. And one other thing I just call out in terms of, you know, all those different inputs you talked about, I'm really happy you noticed that. Like, we're really into that.
I could tell because you keep adding more all the time.
Yeah. So we started just with web. We very quickly added the email piece, which also I would point out you can use with MMS as well. Mm-hmm. And then we added, you know, the voice, which people have really latched onto, and finally fax. The cool part about all this stuff is, I mean, when you think about how people think about phone numbers or email addresses, they're usually tied to identity and kind of tied to registering for all this stuff, but they don't have to be. I mean, they're just really, really useful ways to kind of, as we say, drop.io, it's drop.input/output to like input and output, you know, information.
Now, one question I wanted to ask you guys, and I'm glad we finally got you on the show, is I used to use a service all the time called dropload.com. And I always imagined that because that service is no longer available, that somehow you guys had some connection to them. But there's no connection whatsoever, I'm guessing.
Actually, it's funny. The only time I think I've ever heard of that service, maybe this is my own lack of history here, was when you mentioned, I think, on an earlier podcast, when we actually came up in our Google Reader as a mention of Dropio. So unfortunately, we haven't heard of the service or used it ourselves.
Yeah, I used it for a while. It was a great, easy little service, and it reminds me a little bit of Dropio. I mean, you guys obviously have taken it a step further, but the idea was that it just made it really simple for people to be able to share files. But it was around for about a year, and then it sort of disappeared.
The thing I like about Dropio is also you're very aware of, you know, it's very Web 2.0. For instance, you have an RSS feed. So if somebody wants to know if I've added anything to this folder, they could subscribe to an RSS feed of it. I mean, that's super cool. Do you turn the audio into enclosures too, right? So it could be a podcast.
So it's funny you mentioned that. The answer is that as of this hour, we actually don't do that. But as of about a day from now,
oh, cool.
We will.
All right, great. So, that's awesome.
So that's one thing. First live to the world that you know you guys are knowing about. Yes, we're adding RSS enclosures. So basically, you'll be able to do things like pick up your phone, call your drop, and then anyone subscribed to your drop will immediately get essentially the voicemail notice of whatever you drop.
Awesome.
Same thing with faxes. You'll basically have a bridge that'll go from fax to RSS.
Wow.
Which is really cool. And obviously all the other inputs for Dropio.
Now, as far as the limit on files that you share, even if you do pay for the pro version, what are your kind of outside limits for sharing big files? I'm just imagining this because I use video and I'm constantly having to share video with people. And sometimes those files get up to even, you know, hundreds and hundreds of megs.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, with the free version, you get 100 megabytes for free. So you can upload anything, you know, that goes to that limit. If you upgrade and you get a gigabyte, you can actually upload, you know, a full gigabyte's worth of, whether it's a file or multiple files. And we're working on ways, you know, where right now if you upgrade, you get a gigabyte. But obviously, some people, you know, they want more and they've demanded it. So we're working on ways to just essentially provide that sort of flexibility to people.
Storage is cheap nowadays. I mean, adding more hard drives probably isn't. I would imagine bandwidth would be your bigger cost.
That it certainly is.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, to be honest, I think the reason why we haven't done it yet is just because we've been focusing on all these other priorities and making sure, you know, all of our other services are pretty, you know, comprehensive.
So one thing I would say about, though, uploading, you know, files of infinite size, you know, theoretically we can handle it. And if you're on the right connection, it'll work. One thing that users sometimes do have trouble with is that if you're not on essentially, you know, a fiber connection or something that's hyper consistent, if you're uploading right now, call it a 2 gigabyte, or in the future, I should say a 1 gigabyte file now, you know, you don't notice it, but lots of times your computer actually cycles on and offline. And unfortunately, when you're uploading huge files, sometimes you'll have an interruption that will make the kind of the upload fail. So we're working on some solutions that are a few months out to make it so that you can resume things and we won't get interrupted. But right now, it is just one thing to point out.
How many people do you currently have in the company? Is it still quite small?
So it's small but growing fast. Right now, we're 5 full-time guys. We'll be 7 within the month, and probably 10 within 2. So, you know, we closed a round of financing with RRE Ventures, which is a fabulous VC firm in New York. And it's great because it's really enabled us to build on the team to build an awesome product and kind of bring it to market in a real way. So, you know, I'm happy to say that we'll be around for a long time to come. We're not going to flash in and out.
I hope not, because I just love this idea. And you can think of a lot of uses for it because you don't have to sign up for it. It's a very ad hoc solution. I'd never heard of data rooms. I never worked in a big corporation. So I could see this is a very cool application of that. I mean, let's say, Amber, you know, you and I are planning a project. We just create a kind of an ad hoc space and it goes away when we're done. Or we are, storage. I don't really have a reason for it. In fact, they have a little widget. You can actually, I put a little widget on my WordPress blog if somebody wants to upload a file to me. Nobody has, oddly enough. I think it puzzles people. Why would I upload you a file? I just thought, I don't know, I'll just see if anybody does. There's something about it that is just very cool. It's very simple and yet highly functional.
One thing that's funny for us is people all the time ask us, so like, what do people use this for? Like, this is really cool, but what are the actual use cases? And, you know, the first answer is, at a completely, you know, transparent answer is, we don't 100% know. I mean, in the end of the day, because we intentionally don't collect information on anything, we can't say X percent is this and Y percent is this. But we can say, having talked to like lots of people who use the service and, you know, obviously reading blogs and things like that, people are using it literally for everything from, you know, I'm a mom and I want to share baby photos, or, you know, a wedding video. And I don't want it searchable, and I don't want it on a social network. I don't want it that accessible.
That's important. It's not Google. It's not. It doesn't show up anywhere.
Yeah. So we've done a few things to make it, you know, hard or much harder to basically crawl it. So the idea is that not only do we do the normal thing, basically telling search engines politely, please don't crawl this.
You use robots.txt.
Sorry?
You use robots.txt, something like that.
Yeah, that's easy. But we've also done a few other things to make it so that basically, you know, instead of having really contextual information, having decontextual information makes it very hard to kind of, for it to show up in search engines. Hmm. That makes sense.
As far as getting this out to the masses, I always wondered this when you have sort of a small web startup, is that it's easy to get early adopters like us very excited about using this technology to share things, to get RSS feeds. But I think the real win in this whole space is when you get this out to the moms and the people who are just kind of regular Joes who are sharing files online. What is your plan or future plan for the site? Is it to capture that audience as well?
Absolutely. That's something we're figuring out right now. I mean, our first priority is technology. And so we're increasingly kind of going down the chain of building what we think the right product is. And, you know, there are things that we do really, really well. There are things that we still need to improve, without a doubt, which doesn't mean it's not useful now, but it means it'll get more useful. But, you know, as we're building that, it's with that the question in mind of how do we kind of reach out to people. And you know, for us, there's no question that, you know, part of what we've, you know, taken money for and what we intend to do is start talking to people more broadly, you know, in different groups about the value of what we can provide, very, very simply in terms of just moving stuff around. And You know, I wish I could tell you we had an incredibly concrete plan as of today in terms of how we're reaching out to each market, et cetera, et cetera. But I think right now what's awesome is that, you know, each one of the groups that use us, be it moms, be it college students who don't want their photos online, be it, you know, small businesses or freelance designers who are using it to share their work with clients.
Yep,
really strong, like, evangelists or people who really believe in the product who have been telling their friends. So right now it's all been word of mouth. There's no question that in time we're going to try to really kind of raise the story out and pass it along to everyone else.
And the plan is to make money on the $10 premium service, or is there something beyond that?
So, I mean, the $10 premium service is just kind of the beginning. We very much believe in the premium model. We're going to provide a great level of baseline service. And then there are certain things like storage that do cost us money. And our kind of view is if it costs us money, then we'll kind of charge it through to our users and, you know, obviously put a little markup in there so that we can kind of, you know, pay the rent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that starts with just $10 for a gig. As Darshan mentioned, we're going to have more sophisticated model where you can buy more storage on top of that. But then it's also stuff like, as you noted with our phone system, you know, let's say you want a custom phone number in your local area code. Right now, all of the phone numbers we have are New York area code, 646. But let's say you're in Alaska or Japan. You know, we'll sell you kind of local phone numbers to call into. Same thing with our fax service. Right now, kind of the fax in feature is, you know, through one, well, it's not through one line, but it's through one central system. But if you want a local fax number or something different, you know, we can provide that. So there's a whole host of premium stuff we're going to put on top of the service as we build it out.
It's really cool. The way the fax system works is bizarre. There's a custom fax cover sheet for each Dropio drop. And so if you want, if like Amber, if I want you to send me a fax that will end up in my Dropio box, I would send you the cover sheet. And I say, just send the fax, and it has a number on it. Just send the fax to that number with this cover sheet. And it just kind of magically appears in my box. And then do you guys convert it to a PDF? Is that how it's going to show up in my box?
Yeah, exactly.
So if it's an RSS stream with an enclosure, I'm really thrilled to hear you're going to do that. It would also show up on my iPod the next day if I subscribe to that as a feed.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is bizarre, but cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure how important you need that fax on the iPod, what we found is, you know, even personally, I'd say that we use our fax machine, you know, once a month.
Right.
And it's really annoying to have to have one for the once a month use. So for us, we say, look, if you need to receive a fax, just honestly click one button and you have the instant ability to receive faxes. Or, you know, if you want to have one drop with all your faxes, just have a drop open. And whenever someone needs to fax link to you, you know, just tell them to use this cover page.
Yeah.
I am definitely going to start using that right now because I have to say I am very anti-fax and I have people all the time asking me for my fax number to send me things, and I have to start using this right away. I know you guys don't get a lot of information about users, but do you have a sense right now as far as how many people are using the site?
Yeah, well, we know the very, very high level aggregate number. And I mean, you know, the good news is, again, we launched this in November, so not very long ago. And, you know, we've already have kind of on a monthly basis, hundreds of thousands of people using the service through, you know, what's probably been, you know, north of 100,000 plus drops that have been created. So, you know, it's going really, really well. What's cool is that it keeps going up just from word of mouth. And, you know, the real hope is that as we kind of go from what are still very early days of just producing great technology that's very, very useful to people and start telling the story more broadly, you know, that number can really keep going up.
I think I saw it on TechCrunch, but it didn't, you know, I've seen it floating around. I thought, oh, it's another BoxNet. I don't really get it. I don't really need it. And then I think somebody started using it on Twitter or mentioning it on Twitter. And that's things like Twitter are great for, spreading word of mouth about cool things. And I tried it and I thought, wow, this is cool. So I immediately sent it to Amber, and I set up one for you, Amber. I paid $30. I got three drops. You got one of them. So we said, well, let's get you guys on, because it's one of those things you look at it and you go, huh, wow, there's something about it. I hope you do well, because I think this is a great idea and I'd like to see more of it.
Well, we really appreciate that. And actually, one of our key insights in the process that in the beginning was that, look, on Dropio, it's really simple. And everyone asks, you know, why don't you guys have a social network? Why don't you have this? Why don't you have that? And then, you know, we thought, look, there are so many other websites out there that already have these built in, and we're just going to leverage those now.
Yeah, exactly. And it does a great job of that. I mean, the real problem is it's so freeform that it's hard to you could do so many different things with it. It's hard to pick just one. You know, or it's even hard to it's like Twitter. It's hard to explain to people because it's like it's too many things. It's too open. It's too easy. But as soon as you think of one thing to do with it, you go, wow, and you start using it.
Yeah, we're very happy. We feel the same way, in all honesty. I mean, we use it for a host of different things. But when you ask us to kind of pin down exactly what we use it for, what kind of the use case is, you know, we'd much rather prefer what it does and let people come up with their own use cases for now. So, you know, for instance, we're very honored and happy. We were actually nominated. We're one of five nominees for the South by Southwest Technical Achievement Award. So we're going down there this weekend to kind of for that. And you know, it's going to be really fun because we're going to introduce a whole new group of people to Dropio, hopefully. And especially at a conference like that, you know, who knows what people are going to do with it in terms of commenting on different sessions or, you know, sending, you know, music around from the bands that are playing or saying, go check this out or whatever it's going to be.
Exactly. In fact, that's what put Twitter on the map at South by Southwest last year. And I have a feeling you might be one of the big apps for this year's South by Southwest. Good luck, guys. Have a great time in Austin.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's great. It was great to talk to you, Darshan and Sam.
Yeah, thanks so much. And, you know, we'll definitely check out the RSS enclosures. We also have one other thing I think you're going to really get a kick out of launching along with the RSS that hopefully you guys will play with and like.
Well?
What is it?
I don't know, Darshan. Should we tell him?
Come on.
I don't know. Maybe we should make them wait, Sam. It's up to you.
I think, how about this? You know, maybe you guys should have us back on and we'll talk about it when it's launched.
You're so mean. Are you going to launch it after South by Southwest or before South by Southwest?
No. These things are getting launched like in the next 24 hours.
Well, people are just going to have to go check it out. That's all there is to it.
Go check out Dropio.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Very cool.
That was very cool. And we should probably mention, Leo, that it's drop.io.
Yeah, you know, IO is the Indian Ocean's territory.
Of course it is, Leo. That makes sense.
I love it. You know, I remember I had this great idea for a daily, action item. And I said, what we need is the URL dai.ly, because it would be your daily action item, dai.ly spells daily, right? I thought, man, I don't know what we're going to do with it, but that is the greatest site and the greatest idea ever. And I looked and I saw LY is Liberia or Libya. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able. So I asked you as a Canadian, but I don't think we had any success in getting the Libyan internet authorities to give us DAI.ly. Wouldn't that have been cool?
You know what, Leo? I suspiciously remember sending an email to the Internet Bureau. I don't know what it's called in Libya.
Yeah.
Yes, on your behalf.
Yeah.
And I was thinking when you were saying that sounds familiar.
It is. I asked you to do it because you were Canadian. I figured, well, Americans never going to be able to do that because of our longstanding fight with Muammar Gaddafi. But maybe a Canadian. You're kind of neutral. You're like the Swiss of the North American continent.
We try, Leo. We try. I don't know if we have as good of a chocolate. And
you do. Rogers chocolate. Beautiful Rogers chocolate in Vancouver.
Oh,
Vancouver
that's a good
and
point.
Victoria. That's as good as Switzerland's.
Yeah, that chocolate is pretty good. And the mountains out there are pretty nice too. Maybe I've been stuck in Toronto too long. I need to get away.
You are the Swiss of the West or whatever. So Darshan, I'm going to mispronounce his name, Soma Shakar, and Sam Lesson of Dropio. And just, you know, check it out. I think there's just some, it's one of those things where it's just kind of amazingly useful and just strange.
Just strange. You know what I like about it? It's just the simplicity of it all. I use YouSendIt all the time. In fact, earlier on today, I was uploading a file to YouSendIt. And, you know, it's simple for me to log in and upload the file, but it's not a very friendly interface.
No.
And so like, if my mom were to start using YouSendIt, she'd get in there and it's not very pretty and it's got a lot of technical jargon and there's a lot of options. But I think she could get her way around Dropio. That's usually my litmus test for what works and what doesn't.
Well, use that account that I arranged for you. I got to spend a whole $10 on you and give it a try. And, you know, I think that what's neat about it is they translate the files. They're very smart about files. So if you put a picture there, it puts it, you know, if you go to the media, it puts it in the right section. The audio, you can actually listen. It puts a little flash player up And they're very Web 2.0. I mean, they're just very slick. For some reason, it does a zip every time you, I guess that's for backup purposes. So you can download everything from a day's uploads, I guess. There's all these little clever things. They've got email alerts. You've got a permalink bookmark, you know, you could bookmark it on other social sites. It's very, I don't know what it is. There's something going on here. I think what it really is for people who don't, you know, I have a website. I have FTP places. I can always do this myself. But for people who don't have a web presence, this is just a very simple way to put stuff online.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people are needing that more and more all the time, and they don't really know where to go. And that's why I mentioned Dropload, because I used Dropload religiously for quite a few months. And then I went there, and all of a sudden it was gone. And I was hoping it had it was being relaunched. And fortunately, this had come out. So good news that we have some other option out there.
Yeah, they are similar to Dropload, although I think much, much prettier and neat. So,
oh, yeah.
I guess that's it. We've done all our links. We've done our interview. You're not going to South by Southwest, huh?
No, I'm so depressed about it. You know what? I'm so depressed about that, but I'm even more depressed about how many people I keep running into who tell me they were at the TED conference.
It's really frustrating because, yeah, there was TED last week, and you know, it was nonstop on Twitter, everybody talking about TED, to the point where I think Mike Arrington said, "Enough TED already. I'm done with the TED." And then now it's going to be for the next 11 days, it's going to be South by Southwest. It already is. People say, "Are you going to the party? What's the go? Where's the good party? What?" You know, and it's like, oh, sometimes social networks can make you feel left out.
I know, but you know what? There was a new social networking study that just came out, I think, yesterday that said that social networks, in fact, keep you more connected to people. And they did a study where they tested people who had taken part in social networks for just 2 months, and they showed decreased signs of stress and anxiety.
Twitter does that for me. That's why I have a real Jones for it. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the damn thing.
Okay, can I just tell you that I'm trying to Twitter more, because I actually find it's pretty cool. Well, especially like it when I'm watching any type of political debates on TV, I really love the conversation that's going on Twitter. But so I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to get good at Twitter and use it more and make it kind of relevant in my life? And I think that, you know, in situations like watching the debates, that it's definitely a handy tool. Then I go to your site and I see how much you Twitter, and I feel like a total loser.
I Twitter 5 or 6, sometimes more times a day, but you're exactly right. I watched the Super Bowl and I felt like I was at a party. There were a bunch of people, and I'm just watching, and people are commenting fast and furious, just as they would at a party. Oh, touchdown, Giants win. And I mean it's just text. I know people are thinking what a loser I am right now. And then Academy Awards, same thing. There's just it is like having— this is, I think, the purest form of social network. It's right there. It's not exactly a chat room. And you can add people that you don't know. So it's kind of a way of making new friends.
I know. It was so funny last night because I was on Twitter, and in Toronto, we had this crazy thunder and lightning storm that was in the middle of a snowstorm. Now, this has happened about 6 times this winter. It's the first time in my entire life where we've had a major snowstorm, and I repeatedly now hear thunder and see lightning. Like, it's a very strange effect. So I'm on Twitter, and there's a few other people in Toronto, and they're talking about the storm and about the thunder and the lightning. And it was such a funny effect because I would just hear the lightning or just hear the thunder, and then I would see someone online on Twitter saying, "Hey, did you hear that thunder in Toronto?" And it's funny because you can almost share experiences like that with this broader community.
And then I'm on here, and Sarah Lane has posted for the first time since July 2007. It's been almost a year, and it's like, wow, Sarah Lane. So that's the other thing, is you follow— but I'm following 250 people, and you know most of those people don't post. Maybe only 20% of them post regularly. But every once in a while, you get a post like from Amber MacArthur, and it's like, oh, she's still alive. On the other hand, if you posted more often, it'd be a lot more fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. I could get addicted. It's a slow process. I've been trying to resist it, Leo, but I don't know. It's not going so well.
All right, Rogers.
Last night I had a little too much fun on Twitter.
Did you? Oh, I'll have to go back and look. That's the other thing. Nothing dies. Twitter.com/Amber Twitter.com/AmberMacArthur, the full name, And I'm twitter.com/LeoLaporte. Let's see, what were you up to? Thunder and lightning. Oh, you're talking back and forth with Merlin. And then, oh, yeah, see, you're having fun, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, having
fun. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great?
I was making fun of the set on CNN because it was so busy during their show last night that
I can't watch.
It was crazy. It just like so many colors, and it looked like just a giant primary color party. It was crazy.
I like MSNBC so much better, except I have to watch CNN now because Erica Hill, my old newscaster from Tech TV, is like the star of Anderson Cooper. So. All right,
She was on Tech TV. She's awesome.
Isn't she great? She learned how to do that back and forth banter with me, baby. She was my news anchor on Call for Help. And then she and I worked together on Tech Live. In fact, I remember anchoring with her during 9/11, and it was very emotional for both of us. It was a very difficult time. And she was a pro then, and she's done very well. And I'm very, very, I shouldn't say proud of her. It's not like I had anything to do with it, but it's really neat to see her there. Given Anderson Cooper the guff she used to give me.
Wow, I had no idea. Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah. She's my favorite on CNN.
Isn't she great? Oh, I'm glad you like her. That's great. Well, we'll get you together. She's moved up to New York now. And her husband was our, for many years, the best floor director. I love him. He's just a wonderful guy. He has a deep voice like that. Probably from smoking too many cigarettes. Anyway, Rogers is doing its usual mess up of your Skype, which usually means it's time to get off. We've been on too long. You know, after an hour, Roger says she's talking on Skype. We need to get her back on the cell phone. So I'm going to say goodbye to you now, Amber. We'll be back next week with your new T1 line from your new office.
Hi, Leo.
We'll see you later, Amber. Bye-bye.